A billion years ago, there was nothing but space. Then one of God's wet farts blew all the planets in place. There were no signs of life on Mars or Venus, but planet Earth was blessed with two baby geniuses. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
Hello, babies. Welcome to Baby Geniuses. I am Emily.
I am Lisa.
We are here to talk to you about science.
Science and technology.
Oh, not at all. Okay, look, have you heard the acronym STEAM?
Yeah.
It's like science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. And I'm like, what else is left? It's just like, we're just not history. That's like what STEAM is. It's
yeah.
Just like everything but history.
I'm impressed that you remembered what all of the, what the whole acronym stood for. Science, technology, entertainment.
The way I remember STEAM is that I'm like, okay, there's only one letter I'm interested in.
Which one?
Art.
Oh, art is sort of all encompassing.
Right? Yeah. Oh, boy. Welcome to the show. It's December. Have you put up any decorations?
No, I want to get a tree pronto, very soon.
Yeah.
I would like to get a tree. I don't know yet if I'm traveling for the holidays or not, because this new variant has my family spooked. So we're sort of in a holding pattern waiting to decide.
It's very play by ear. I feel like this is some of, there's a way, like, I'm not even like afraid of getting it so much as I am afraid of like passing it. I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
But it puts me in a weird position for like making decisions about stuff like the holidays, where I'm like, we're in this weird sort of in between, like, are the numbers high enough to cancel? Like, it just feels like the worst possible. I mean, it's not the worst possible, but like, it's a bad spot in terms of like, okay, like, I can be cautious and be considered rude.
Yeah.
Or I could chance it and then maybe feel like I made a mistake.
Yeah. I want to protect my parents. Mostly that's what I'm the most worried about.
I think for people with anxiety, the inability to plan months in advance is one of the harder things about pandemic decision making, at least.
Yeah. On the other hand, I love canceled plans. You know,
I
never have a problem with that. So if it's like, never mind, you're not going to like have to fly anywhere, I'm like, oh, all right. Well, I love to stay home. So
yeah,
whatever.
Like, I just wish I knew that it was canceled.
Yeah.
Right now, I feel like I'm being tantalized by plans being canceled.
Yes. Yeah. I would like to know what side of the fence we're going to end up on. What to prepare for.
Exactly. I did go home for Thanksgiving, though, and that was really nice. I feel like if I hadn't done that, I would be like more like, oh, crap, I hope Christmas doesn't get canceled. And it's not like, look, I would love to go home for Christmas, and I'm really excited about it if it happens. But I also like would love to have like the finality of an answer if it's not going to happen.
It felt so good to leave town. I went home for Thanksgiving. I spent most of it like packing up old things in my house because my parents are planning to move out of my childhood home into a retirement community soon. Yeah, big.
That's a big change. And did you find cool stuff?
Yeah, I found some cool stuff, and it was just fun to like pick up objects and be like, where did you get this? In the 70s? Yeah. In Copenhagen? Cool. My parents have good taste. And then I flew up to Eugene to be with Adam's folks. So that was nice just to like get out of my routine. But then on the flight back, I had to sit next to an anti-masker the whole flight. And that really sucked. And I'm really pissed off about
it.
It made me so infuriated because it was already a shitty flight. It was like supposed to be direct. And then they're like, oh, never mind. We're actually going to stop in another city and pick up a bunch of passengers we stranded because we suck. It was,
oh my God.
I don't recommend Avelo Airlines. They're very cheap, but you get what you pay for. They also at the last minute were like, oh, all those seats that you chose, actually it's open seating. So you get on the plane and you just pick whatever seat you want. And like half the people getting on the plane knew this and half didn't. So it was just fucking chaos.
What the just fuck?
Complete chaos.
Is this a real airline? This sounds like a prank.
It felt like a joke. So our 2-hour direct flight turned into like a 4-hour ordeal. And this idiot sitting next to me just like refused to wear a mask. And the flight attendant came by and was like, sir, you know, could you please wear a mask if you aren't eating or drinking? And he's like, yeah, okay. And then he just didn't. And then he like kept asking.
He didn't even have one like around his neck.
He had it around his neck. And at first he just had his nose out. And then he just slowly like kept lowering it and looking around like, is anyone going to call me out on this? And then he would pretend to be asleep. And then he would just lean way over so nobody could see his mouth. And then by the end, he was just like openly, flagrantly not wearing it at all, just fully under his neck. And he kept asking the flight attendant for more snacks. And so she kept bringing him snacks and then just not correcting him on the fact that he wasn't wearing a mask for hours and hours. And he would just like, fuck? He was just slowly, like every 5 minutes, he would take one nibble of a cracker. It was that like he just had like
just so he could have an excuse to not put the mask on,
like plausible deniability. And I kept making eye contact with him and he just had these like beady shark eyes. I just hated him so fucking much.
And I hate this guy so much.
Why do you think that you're the exception to the rule? Like everyone else on the plane is wearing a mask. Why?
Let's fucking dox this guy.
I did post his photo in my Instagram stories because I'm extremely passive aggressive. And I just like took a selfie where he's in the background looking dumb. And then I didn't say anything to him because he frightened me. But when we landed, he immediately got up and was like trying to cut in front of people in rows ahead, which bothers me so much. It's like, fucking turn. I put on my huge backpack duffel bag and I just like used it and wedged in front of him.
Oh, good.
And then let Adam get in front of him too. And then the two of us just walked so slowly the whole time we were getting off. And he was so angry. He was like,
that's great. That makes me feel a lot better about that story.
I'm very passive aggressive.
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. It's one of those situations where it's like you're stuck on a plane with someone. I feel like that's the type of situation where like if you had maybe asked him, like there's a chance he would have felt like he needed to put the mask on, but there's also a chance he would have like aggressively coughed in your face.
He was coughing too. It was so disgusting. God. He was like coughing like, you know.
I hate that shit.
I just like, if you're at that level, I'm afraid to talk to you because I don't know what the fuck you're going to do.
What's going to happen, yeah.
I did think about very loudly asking him to put on his mask just to make him feel ashamed. But he obviously doesn't feel shame. So I don't know what to do with a person like that.
He should have been kicked off the plane when you guys stopped in that other city.
I know. That's the thing, too. None of the flight attendants cared. It just the whole...
This is another argument against this airline.
I swear to God.
Every other airline I've been on, and I haven't been on that many, has been like, you need to put your mask on.
I've been on a bunch. And
the flight attendants do that.
They've been really good about it. And this is the one where they're just like, oh, whatever, I'll say it once. And then if he doesn't, who cares? You know, they seemed very incompetent about every aspect. It was really scary.
What's the name of this airline again?
Avelo. It was a scary...
How's that spelled?
Scary flight. A-V-E-L-O.
I would have assumed it was A-V-A-I-L-O. Yeah. Like, this is what's available.
That's
the only reason you bought your ticket.
I mean, honestly, it was. Like, and they're really cheap. And they fly regional. They only have like fucking 6 planes total. Like, it's a very new company. And they fly like direct from Burbank to Eugene and, you know... I will avoid.
Yeah. Must avoid.
Must avoid.
I had a weird, I mean, I guess this is this an update? This is barely an update. We are back to walking Alan, which is great.
Yay. And I saw a video of him walking where he looked good. He wasn't like, he wasn't limping or anything.
He's still skipping steps, but I just don't think that it's a problem. I think that it might be just like residual habit or like some other discomfort unrelated to the problem he was having before, but not a reason to like stop him from walking.
Yeah.
And we're still like limiting the time we walk him. Like we don't walk him for longer than 25 minutes, but and we don't let him run. We still like leash him when we take him in the yard. And anyway, but there are, you know, we still walk him with that fucking mesh bag on his head, which is like really a bummer because it looks so weird and people give me the weirdest looks. And like, I sometimes explain it and people are understanding, but this one bitch was like, oh, he probably can't see anything. And I was like, he can see fine. Like, it's mesh. It's not.
That's like
cloth.
People say that about fly masks on horses, too. They're like, oh, they're blind. No, it's mesh.
Yeah.
The whole point is that they can see. Oh, people.
Yeah. It's for his, like, I'm not abusing my dog. No. I'm saving him from himself and his, like, sort of suicidal gluttony. But this one guy who I explained it to, like, he now is like, it took me so long for the thought to cross my mind that he might be like, trying to flirt with me or something, but he's been like really coming out and trying to talk to me a lot and being like overly friendly, but like not weird or anything, but just like it's like he sees me coming and he's like, oh, time to go talk to the lady with the dog.
No.
And it's fine, whatever. I'm not like threatened by him or anything, you know?
I'm not friendly.
But the other day he like came out and he was just like, I was like, hi, or I was like, good morning. And he was like, good morning. And I don't even think he responded to the good morning. He just pointed to a palm tree across the street and was like, that tree's been there since I was born. And like, just was talking about the tree. And I was like, okay.
How old is he?
I want to say 50.
Yeah, okay.
Here's where the story gets, if not interesting, at least different. This guy lives on the same property as the woman who flipped me off. I don't know how I have had such an opposite effect on the two people I've seen who live at this property.
So do they live together or are they in two different units?
I have no idea. I think there's at least two units on the property.
So it's like bungalows or something? Like,
or it's like a front house and a guest house that's like a rental property. I don't know. I don't know if they know each other. I don't know if they're like, but I have somehow split the vote at at this lot. And there's part of me that wants to leverage my friendship with this man to understand why the lady flipped me off. But maybe I should just try and get invited to his holidays and see if she's there.
This makes me want to do that, like, kind of door-to-door campaigning thing where you go to, like, talk about, you know, oh, this person's running for council or whatever. How do you feel? Like, just, like, go around your neighborhood and be like, so how do you feel about Emily? You know, she walks Alan and he has a bag on his head. What are your thoughts? You know, just...
It's the woman with the dog with the bag on the head. Oh, boy. Anyway, my life is not very exciting right now. I feel like every time we sit down to talk on the podcast, it's like, I think about what's been going on in my life, and it's just increasing levels of television.
Yeah, I'm jealous because I haven't had much time to watch TV lately. Don't mean that as a humble brag. I mean, I finally now have more time, and I'm watching bad TV, so I need to watch better TV.
I have a long list of both very good and very bad television for you.
Great.
We are drowning in great television right now. Give me, has just come out.
Give me like a quick.
Here's
like,
a quick rundown
what's
of
the best.
The best that is on right now.
I am watching. Season. I'm watching Succession. I am up to date on that.
Yeah, I'm not gonna pretend like I'm like breaking news that Succession is good. New season of Saved by the Bell dropped on Peacock. It's great.
Yeah, that didn't seem interesting to me.
Oh my gosh, that show, Lisa. I love that show so much.
Yeah,
it's so great. Well, did you watch Great News?
Yeah,
it's the same showrunner, and it is the same style of jokes. It is incredibly fast-paced, funny, clever jokes. They have a lot of fun with the legacy of Saved by the Bell, like making fun of it. But it just has some of the best written jokes on television, in my opinion. It is like the most surprisingly good show you will watch.
Would I enjoy it if I didn't watch the original Saved by the Bell?
Yes.
Okay.
It doesn't matter because like anytime that they directly refer to something that happened on Saved by the Bell, like, it's either something that's so iconic that you didn't watch the show and you still know about it, or they, like, catch you up on it enough. But it's also, it's just like, little jokes where it's, like, you know, like, they have some of the original cast in it, and, like, Zach and Kelly in Saved by the Bell, like, get married at the end of the series or whatever. And they just, they make jokes in the show, like, Zach saying stuff like, I'm so happy you're the only woman I've ever slept with. And, like, just things about how ridiculous the plot of that show is. And, yeah, you don't need to have watched Saved by the Bell to enjoy this show.
Okay,
and
great.
I think it's one of the most underrated, like, it should be talked about way more. And if you enjoyed 30 Rock, if you enjoyed Great News, I think that you would enjoy it.
Great. This whole segment, so, by the way, should be bracketed by Endorse Horse.
Yes, Endorse Horse Television. Yeah, this is an Endorse Horse. I'm endorsing all these shows.
Cue Endorse Horse theme.
Yes, Stathletz Flats, season 3 on HBO Max now. If you haven't watched Stathletz Flats, it is one of the silliest, most amazing shows. It's so good. It's so ridiculous. I'm so happy it's back. Southside season 2 is airing now.
Yes.
Southside's so good. Your brother worked on it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he did.
Yes. So great. I'm making Peter watch Southside now. We're rewatching season 1. I watched season 1 and I'm going to wait until he's done with that to watch the rest of season 2, but it's really good. Joe Parra Talks With You is back.
Oh, yes, and I heard it's good. Yeah, Joe Parra.
This season of Insecure is great.
Oh, yeah, I need to catch up on
How
that.
How To with John Wilson.
Is there another season of that?
Another season of that is airing now. There have been 2 episodes, I think. What else? There is so much good TV right now, and then I'm spending all my time. Okay, also, Love Island Australia, the current season, is a fucking banger. It is so good. It is one of the best seasons of Love Island I've ever watched. Just every episode is packed. It's so good. And then also I started watching Selling Sunset, which is really bad.
But does have a Tuca and Birdie billboard in all their B-roll footage, which I really appreciate.
Lisa, I'm going to be honest with you. I started watching it because you posted about that. And I was like, if Lisa's watching this show, I want to watch it and talk about it because I need another stupid show. And then I find out you don't actually watch it.
I don't watch it.
Screenshot.
I reposted a screenshot that Jessica Gao sent to me.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm a faker.
But I've seen so many people tweeting about it. Also, I mean, the new season of Great British Bake Off that just wrapped was amazing.
Oh, yeah. I want to watch that. Fuck. There's also a lot of movies dropping right now that I want to see. Like, there's a new Jane Campion movie. I got to see that.
Oh, yeah.
She's, like, my favorite director. There's, like, you know, all the prestige Oscar Beatty things are coming out now.
Are coming out now. Yeah. I think Peter and I are going to watch Die Hard for the first time. Neither of us has seen it.
Die Hard's fun.
Okay.
I saw the new James Bond. Don't like it.
Bad.
Dad's
not
bad.
Good.
It's a bummer. Me and my parents watched that, and then we watched the next night. We watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Tarantino movie.
Oh, had you not seen it?
No. Ugh, it's just so long.
It's so long
and self indulgent. There were things I liked about it, but ugh. And then the next night, I was like, okay, we're gonna watch You've Got Mail. So we watched that and we were all delighted. And the next night I'm like, we're watching When Harry Met Sally. I'm just turning this ship around.
Yes, that's good. Yeah, when I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Peter and I like saw it in theaters and then we walked out and we were just like, that was enjoyable, but to what end?
To what end?
Like, why? I just felt like it was meaningless. It had nothing to say that I cared about.
Nothing. And then so many gratuitous shots of feet. It was really like,
oh my God. I felt like that was a straight up troll.
It was a troll.
I was so mad about that. He was being so rude about it.
It just, the whole thing, the whole movie felt really bratty to me. I think Quentin Tarantino is like kind of a brat.
He's an absolute brat.
Yeah.
I think it sucks. Anyway.
It's unbecoming.
oh, wait. There's one other thing I wanted to talk about TV, which is that, so we all know Sharon Osbourne sucks and is a racist and a bad person, right?
Oh, right.
Did you follow that story when it's coming out where, yeah, she got fired from The View because she's a racist and, or not The View, The Talk, one of those, you know, sort of roundtable shows that she was on. So I have been watching old episodes of the British show, Would I Lie to You? Have you watched that show at all?
No.
It's like a panel show where like there's six panelists on every show, and it's like comedians and British celebrities and stuff, and they basically take turns like reading stories off a card, and it's either true or a lie, and they have to defend the story and act like it's true no matter what. Mm-hmm. And she told this story about firing her assistant because he didn't have a sense of humor about the house burning down, because she made him go in the house when the house was on fire to try and like save her paintings. And then she like was incredibly dismissive about him thinking he had lung damage about it.
Oh my God.
And the story was told like, oh, she's funny and quirky. But the other panelists were like, oh yeah, how dare he oxygenate his blood?
Yeah.
He should do that on his own time. And it was one of those things where I was watching it not knowing that it had caused an uproar at the time that it had aired. Because it aired a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And she like backpedaled and was like, oh no, I exaggerated because it's a comedy show and like it didn't really happen like that. But I just want to know why this assistant hasn't come forward ever since like all of the shit came out.
Yeah.
I want to know what really happened. I want them to come forward and say like either it was true or what. But
maybe
anyway,
they signed a huge NDA and they got paid off entirely and they just don't want to
maybe mess with anyway them. I found it appalling and very surprising. What did you, you told me that you found a new trope that you like, even if it's overdone.
Yes, because we talked about that last time, like how we love the trope of characters like lying.
Yes.
We love that. Never get sick of it. And I thought of another one I love, which is when a new cool character is being introduced, we see their shoes and then we pan up to see all of them while cool music plays. Or they just like walk in like, you know, to cool music. I never get
You like that unironically?
I never get sick of it. And I frankly am annoyed when characters aren't introduced that way.
If you like that, you would probably like Selling Sunset. I think they do that once an episode.
Oh, I hate it though when it's done on like reality shows. It's always just like, ugh, fuck, this is so stupid. I don't know.
It's always just like, look how uncomfortable the shoes they're wearing are.
Yeah. I like it more in fictional shows. I feel like David Lynch did it on Twin Peaks. Two Peaks.
Oh, really?
Those Peaks.
on the Double Mountain show.
Yeah, I just love it. I love meeting a character at their shoes. I think it's great.
I'm just getting mixed messages with you about how much you want to see feet on screen based on your review of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I want to see and shoes. This, I like feet in
you
shoes.
You want to see shoes, yeah.
I don't want to see Margot Robbie's dirty feet in a theater. Normally I like when directors like put their fetishes in their work, you know, because I think it personalizes it in a fun way. But he wasn't like sharing it with us. He was like,
no, it felt to me an act of aggression because he's like, everyone knows this is my fetish.
Yeah.
So I am going to pack this film with it and as like a middle finger to the audience.
Yeah.
But it also felt to me it's like, okay, so you're making these actresses who know that you have a foot fetish film these foot scenes as like an extension of your, it just feels like this is not a victimless crime here.
It's so
like,
gross. It's not considerate of the actors. It's not considerate of the viewers in any way. It's just like, fuck you. It's Thanksgiving. I'm trying to watch a movie with my parents. Don't fucking show me fucking Margaret Qualley's feet all over dashboard.
Oh, man. So many fucking feet in that.
God damn it.
It's like, but you're just doing this because you know we know.
Yeah, I like feet. I understand why foot fetishes exist. Like they're cool, they're sexy, but don't slap my face with your dick. Just trying to watch a movie.
It doesn't advance the story. There was nothing about her putting her feet up on the seats in front of her that was like, wow, this tells me everything I need to know about the scene, especially when it's like you're not really like Margot Robbie has like three lines in that whole movie.
I know. Yeah. Her character was like not fleshed out at all. She was just this like ditzy.
Yeah. And it was like, the whole point of that scene was like, she went to the theater to watch the movie that she was in and enjoy it. And she didn't even, they didn't even recreate the scene with her in it.
Yeah.
They used the original footage that the original Sharon Tate was in.
Yeah.
And so it was like, you're not even letting this, giving this actor words to say that would make sense for the story. Like, every opportunity you have to give this character, like, the opportunity to speak, you are denying this actor. I think that also made it more frustrating to me.
Yes.
Should we do Chunch Chat?
Yes.
Okay. We will be right back with Chunch Chat, our regular segment where we talk about any news in the world of Martha Stewart's Pony Band Chunch. Baby Geniuses is brought to you by Native.
Native. Around the holidays, everything smells good. Literally everything. Cookies, mistletoe, my toilet. I stick my head right in there and smells great. Smells like Christmas. Santa's coming.
And speaking of cookies and mistletoe, those are two of Native's awesome new holiday-inspired scented products.
What a coincidence that I mentioned those two smells and those are... smells that they are selling.
I think I have to buy this just so I can find out what mistletoe smells like. I don't think I know.
Yeah. You know, planty and
and
pointy.
Like, not unlike a toe, I would hope. Native cares about the products you put on your body. They're all about stopping the stink the right way. That's the Native difference.
Native's mission is to overhaul your entire hygiene routine by creating products that are made with simple ingredients like shea butter and coconut oil, so you can smell great all day long.
Giving the gift of self-care is easy with Native. Build yourself or loved ones personalized product bundles by mixing and matching three of your favorite holiday scented products into a set. And even if it's considered slightly passive aggressive to give people deodorant, people will love the smell so much that they won't even care. I really like the candy cane scented one because it's like it's got the like freshness of mint while also smelling like candy. And it just puts you in a holiday mood. I really like it.
Me too. And it's limited edition and it's back this year. And that makes me feel special.
I mean, it's like, look, I've gone back and forth on this issue. They shouldn't sell eggnog year round.
No.
I think it's good that it's only available certain times of year. If you look at the nutrition facts, it's basically mayonnaise that you drink. I think that's true of a lot of holiday stuff is like preserve how special it is. I like that they offer seasonal things that put you in the right mood.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
This is like the McRib of deodorants. Stay merry, happy, and fresh this holiday season with Native's limited edition holiday scents. Go to nativedeodorant.com and use code GENIUSES to get 20% off your first purchase at checkout.
That's nativedeodorant.com. Code geniuses for 20% off. Nativedeodorant.com, code geniuses. Google how to spell geniuses if you don't know how.
Well, Manolo, we have a show to promote. It's called After Game Show.
It's a family-friendly podcast where listeners submit games and we play them with callers from around the world.
Oh, sounds good. New episodes happen every other Wednesday on MaximumFun.org.
It's a fast and loose oasis of absurd innocence and naivete.
Are you writing a poem?
No, and just saying things from my memory. And it's a nice break from reality. Are we allowed to say that?
I don't know. It sounds bad.
It comes with a 100% happiness guarantee.
It does not. Come for the games and stay for the chaos.
Chunch. When the clock strikes noon, we could have a picnic lunch, fine wine, full moon, and we're chatting about chunch and chunch.
There's no new chunch news today. Frankly, I'm a little still annoyed with Martha about her NFTs that she keeps making that make no goddamn sense to me.
It's so frustrating.
I mean, of course she is. It makes
really
sense.
It really feels like because of who she is and what her Google alerts probably are, of course she was going to do this,
yeah.
You know?
She's a business lady. above all else.
She's like, oh, people are making a lot of money doing this. That means I have to get in on it.
Yeah, cha-ching. But yeah, fuck off with that. I don't care. Hard pivot to something else. Emily, I heard you finally shaved your armpits. Word on the street.
Today in celebrity horse news. Yeah. I want to thank everyone for their support in me growing my armpit hair out and sort of like getting me through the itchy phase. But then turns out that I got back to another itchy phase. So how I pushed past the first itchy phase and then I was in another itchy phase and I was just like, I feel like a monkey just scratching my armpits like this. I'm like, I might as well be going ooh, ooh, ah, ah when I do it.
How long had it been?
I think it had been since the beginning of the pandemic.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
You gave it a good go.
I gave it a good go. And I'll probably grow it out again, but I just needed to start over. I don't know why I did it for winter and not for summer, but
it's not like your pits need to like wear coats to stay warm.
No, yeah. And people had pointed out to me that it was starting to like the color of my armpit hair was like glowing in the sun, like when I was wearing, like when I was going sleeveless during the summertime, it was like, oh, I'm a redhead in my armpits and my armpits only.
Multiple people pointed this out to you?
Well, just like my siblings.
You can always count on them for honest feedback.
But then I noticed it and I was like, yeah, this is not how I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to do it again. We'll see how it goes.
Great.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really have anything else to say about it, I guess.
Let's end the segment then. Let's go to one on fun.
That concludes Chunge Chat. It's time for one on fun.
One on fun.
Oh no, I forgot about one on fun.
Oh no.
Oh no.
I have one.
Yeah.
This is inspired by I finally like tried to clean out my closet a little bit. And get rid of some stuff.
Yeah.
After a very long time. And I want to ask you, is there a clothing item that you is like your weakness? Like you just buy too many of this item in search of the perfect one, or you just can't help yourself?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a few different categories of answers to this question.
Yeah.
Because there are things that I buy too much of and then I only wear one or two of them. And then there's things that I buy too much of that I never wear.
Yeah.
Where it's like, there's some where I'm like, okay, I wear all of them, but I can't stop buying them.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's ones where I'm like, I am kidding myself about what I'm going to do. I just recently reorganized my tights.
Ooh.
And I never fucking wear tights.
I
wear tights maybe 5 days a year.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say. 5 days a year.
I might never wear tights again.
And I, like, I just went through them and the number of pairs I had that did not fit me or had holes in them, I was like, or duplicate pairs in the same color. And I'm like, I never wear tights that are not black anymore,
yeah,
even.
Same.
Why do I own tights that are not black? Why do I own anything that I just was like, what's wrong with me? And I got rid of a bunch of them, but then I still have so many left. And it was like, I was looking at them, I was like, oh, this would look cute with this outfit. Or like, I just have all of these items of clothing that I feel like were aspirational for like a certain outfit that I just never end up wearing because it's not as comfortable as what I actually want to wear, which
yeah,
is just like something comfortable.
Yeah.
So I would say that I think is probably the thing. But even though it's like they're cheap, so it doesn't feel as bad as some of the stuff that I spend more money on that I also don't wear.
Yeah.
What about you?
Mine is like probably jeans have been the worst offender because it just trying to find jeans that actually fit. And then like
right,
they're all weird in some way. And then some I get tailored and so they finally fit, but then I change size and then they don't fit anymore and it's like,
yeah,
do I keep them? Probably not. So
I mean, also the styles change.
Yeah, and then... I just got rid of some skinny jeans. I'm like, well, these probably aren't cool anymore.
Me too. They not only don't fit me, but I finally have internalized that they look ridiculous. Yeah. It took me a while to accept that was the situation, but I was like, I see how dated they look now. So yeah, I got rid of some of those too.
I'm ready to let those go. I'm kind of glad that trend has set sail finally.
But I don't know what will look good on me now.
I got some like kind of high rise straight leg Levi's that I like. Okay, so I'll wear those.
I can't wear high rise. Like, oh, this is the bane of my existence. Like, they do not feel comfortable or look good on me, and they all fit wrong. Like, it's just not good for my body type, and so like there's not like a good alternative for me right now.
Big Bud has some good pants in different cuts that I like.
They're all high rise.
Oh, they are.
100% of them are high rise.
You could get some.
You and I have opposite.
That's
bodies
true. We
for
do.
Jeans.
That's true. I will.
So
I'll stop.
Anything
giving
that looks good on you looks terrible on me, and probably vice versa. So, I mean, I'm just trying to embrace. I got some chef's pants. Restaurant supply store, and like, you know, those are baggy, but they're black with white stripes. And like, Peter was like, oh, yeah, I love when I love a waist down Beetlejuice look.
That sounds good to me. One more thing I will add before you ask me my question.
Yes,
I don't think I will ever
going to do.
Buy anything from Madewell ever again, because that is the number one thing that like when I buy something from Madewell, I either never wear it or it just disintegrates within a year. Like, it just doesn't, it doesn't last.
If you had said, because it looks bad on your body, I was going to be like, well, that's a sign I should buy it.
It also, they look bad on my body. Like, their pants just don't fit me, and it's everything.
See, that makes me think they would look good on me, but if they
maybe
fall apart, then I shouldn't.
Actually, because you have, like, thin legs, I feel like.
I have really narrow hips,
yeah.
And then just, like, I just, like, go straight down like a tree trunk. I'm like an apple shape. And so, like, yeah, I have no hips, but then...
Great tits.
Yeah.
No hips, great tits. Because that's why Madewell doesn't look good on me, because I'm, like, very curvy on my lower half. Mm-hmm. And their pants, I think, are made for straighter shaped.
Straighter body shapes, yeah. I wonder if they even make it in my size, though. That's the other question.
Probably,
anyway, we'll figure it out.
They have a range of sizes, but I don't like them. They're... Madewell sucks.
Okay. Okay, Lisa.
Yeah.
Here's my one on fun question, and I definitely know what words I'm gonna say before they come out of my mouth.
Can't wait. I'm so glad you prepared.
Do you have any collections that you're currently adding to?
Oh. What do I collect? I'm sort of anti-collection these days. You know, I used to be such a collector. And now,
what did you used to collect?
I've collected so many things, but now stuff kind of gives me anxiety, like just having stuff sitting around. So like, for a second I was collecting like Lego stuff, like last year I did a bunch of Lego buildings. But then it kind of gave me anxiety to see them still set up, like on the shelf.
Yeah.
So I took them apart and they're just disassembled now. I collected plastic horses when I was little,
Right. Yeah.
I'm shipping all those down to myself. I think I'm just going to give them to like friends' kids.
That's a good idea.
I want to keep them around. What do I collect? I can't think of anything.
Interesting.
What do you collect?
I mean, I guess I don't really collect anything on purpose anymore. I used to collect Jones soda bottles.
Oh, those are so cute.
Yeah. And then I also used to collect a lot of like zines and stuff, but not in a like normal like, oh yes, I must have one of everything. I don't know if that counts as a collection. I have been trying. I think I have started collecting a bit more like vintage t-shirts and stuff again. Like, I used to have some really cool ones, and then I got rid of a bunch, and now I'm like, oh, this might be like a fun thing to start collecting again. But that's another thing where I'm like, this is a weakness. I need to stop buying all of these. It's really hard to get the smell out of some of them.
Yeah, I think my natural desire is to get more of stuff that I like, but I'm trying to fight that. Like, Even like, you know, with the riding stuff, I'm always tempted to buy like new saddle pads or whatever, because it's like, oh, I see one in a cute color. Yeah. But then it's like, I have three right now and I like them and I don't need more. I don't.
Oh, I collect like useless gardening shit that I shouldn't have. That I'm like, why am I buying this? I shouldn't have this. I like the number of like accessories I have for gardening is out of control.
That would be, I do that with horse stuff, definitely.
Yeah.
I bought this like emergency, like, it's like a, what do you call it when you can flip a knife and then like a...
Oh man, everyone is screaming at
Swiss
us right
Army,
now.
Swiss Army knife.
Oh, a Swiss Army knife? I thought you were going to say switchblade.
It's like that, but it's kind of a Swiss style, so it's got a bunch of stuff, but it's specifically for horseback riding. So it's like...
A multi-tool?
Yeah, so you can go on a trail and you have this multi-tool just for horseback riding, but it's so heavy, it's sort of impractical, and I just like bought it on a whim, and why do I need... I don't need that, like...
Yeah.
Or whatever, I'll keep it. What gardening stuff have you...
I recently bought, I think my most shameful purchase that I am still sort of grappling with what to do about it.
I love this.
Is I bought what I thought was like a weed whacker. It's a string trimmer that I can't use on any of the stuff I thought I could use it on because it's not strong enough. I could use it on some of the stuff that I thought I wanted to use it on, which was deadheading my gazanias without having to lean over. But I think I'm getting rid of a lot of my gazanias, so that's not going to be helpful. And I can't use it to trim my, like, rosemary or anything. I can't use it to trim any of my, like, more, you know, dense plants. It's for grass, basically. It's for grass and weeds. And, like, I can't use it, and I need to get rid of it. And it's, like, a tool that I should not have.
Can you sell it on, like, eBay or Mercari?
I probably can.
That would probably make you feel good. Selling stuff on Mercari is like fun, and it just feels good to like get it out, and like they pay for shipping, so it's like super easy, and it feels really good when someone wants your like old thing.
Yeah, maybe I might still be able to return it, actually.
Oh.
Because I only used it once.
You know what so that's like the perfect, like I buy a
but
lot of
stuff. That's just like an errand that like is hanging over me like a dark cloud of doom. I can't get comfortable with it.
I know. I have like a dress I need to sell on eBay or something because it's a nice dress I only wore once for an event and I'll probably never wear again.
Yeah, I should sell some of those, I think.
You know what I was collecting was roller skates and I had too many.
Oh,
at a certain point, I had four pairs. And so I sold a pair on Mercari and it felt really good to like get it out to someone who actually was going to use them.
Well, this is also one of the things where I'm like, I have an assistant now as part of my overall deal.
Yeah.
And I do not have a lot of stuff for her to do. She handles basically like my calendar and like...
Have her do the Mercari thing.
I might just be like, I'm going to just put a box on my porch and you just take it and just get rid of it somehow. And I kind of don't care how. It's shit where I'm like, the amount... It's not a lot of work to get rid of it for me, but the work of being like... overriding my like hoarder brain tendencies of being like, this has a use, I must hold on to it. And it's like, I have no use for it. I will not use it. It has been in my house for a long time. It's like an old remote control to a cable box I no longer use.
Oh, I hate that kind of thing.
Get it out of my house. Figure out what to do with it, please.
I want to just dump a bunch of stuff at Goodwill, but I always feel bad doing that because I know most of it's going to be thrown away.
Right.
And I'm the annoying person now is like thinking a lot about this stuff because I have been reading books about it. And I just read this book Consumed by Aja Barber, which is like, it's a good primer. I wanted it to go a little deeper, but I think it was pretty good, but at least it made me think about this stuff more than I usually do. So that's good.
Yeah.
But like, I've just been thinking lately, like every time I pick up a piece of plastic, I'm like, oh, this will be on the earth forever.
Forever.
This is never going away. This is going to be in the ocean or on the ground until the sun eats us. So just thinking about that kind of stuff stresses me out all the time.
It's really stressful.
But I'm still the asshole who keeps buying stuff because I have to.
It's really hard to reconcile those aspects of my thinking.
Yeah.
But I have been also like looking into places that do textile recycling.
Yeah.
Like there's a sew shop in LA that will do it for you. And like, thread up when you send them stuff. Like, they say they recycle whatever they can't sell.
Yeah.
So sometimes I knowingly send them stuff that I'm like, I know you're not going to sell this, but please recycle it so that I don't put it in the trash.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't like end up in a pile in another country, like, you know.
Right. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Well, that concludes One on Fun. We'll be right back with Wiki of the Week. Baby Geniuses is brought to you by Dipsy Stories.
Ooh, what's your nightly ritual? From tie me up to tuck me in, Dipsy Stories is here to close the loop on your bedtime routine or help you create an exciting new one. I could use a shakeup in my routine.
Yeah, I think so too. My nightly routine is just usually just watch TV until I realize it's 11:30.
Mine's like rinse off my mouth guard until it feels vaguely clean. It never feels clean enough. And then
try to muster the energy to floss.
Ugh, try. So I could use a sexin' up, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Dipsy Stories is an app full of sexy audio stories. And now they even have brand new written stories.
Ooh, literotica. No matter who you're into or what turns you on, Dipsy helps bring the stories to life anytime, anywhere.
There are hundreds of stories to choose from, and they release new content every week, so there's always more to explore. Whether it's something that you've already fantasized about or a fantasy you didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
It's fun to browse and be like, ooh, that's what people are into? Okay.
I think it's like hard to keep in touch with that like horny, I have a sexy body part of yourself these days. And this is a nice, easy way to tap into that again.
Yeah. And just to remember that it's like, it's all about what's in your brain, man.
Man. Expand your mind.
For listeners, but in like a horny way.
A super horny way. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/geniuses. That's long enough to get you through the holidays.
I think so. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/geniuses.
dipsystories.com/geniuses.
Google how to spell geniuses if you don't know how.
Hey folks, it's me, James Arthur M., host of Minority Corner, your home through these wild times for weekly doses of pop culture, history, news, nerdy stuff, and more through a BIPOC queer and allied lens.
Hollywood.
I'm a black woman, and you need to put me in your picture. I am Eartha Kitt.
Meow. Where am I right now?
Why it's February and March that you get to celebrate me and all the other beautiful black women in your life and or your history.
And still to this day, we do not have a federal anti-lynching law.
This is so bad, James.
They were like,
I didn't even know any of this existed.
Yeah. This is why we have these conversations here. So join me and some of your new BFFs every Friday here on Maximum Fun to stay informed, empowered, and have some fun. Minority Corner, because together, we're the majority.
Sorry, that's such a downer to bring up.
No, it's fine. It's what's on our minds.
You know what annoyed me so much? I ordered like some body wash last week, and I was just like, I'm going to be so good. I'm just going to order the body wash. I'm not going to get any samples. I'm not going to order anything else that I don't need. Just the body wash. And then it came with this whole shitty bag, like a toiletry bag full of samples.
The company
was like, here you go, happy Christmas. And I was like, no, this is not what I wanted. I was being good.
Oh no,
I don't need this stuff. Is
also why I've been able to justify buying a bunch of vintage t-shirts, where it's like, I'm buying, but it's something that was already here.
Yeah, no, buying used is great. It's a victimless crime.
All right. This week's Wikipedia page was sent to us by Nicole Dimas.
Thank you, Nicole.
It is the Wikipedia page for Vulcana.
Are you trying to say volcano?
I am, and I don't know how to say it. We're going to read the whole Wikipedia page for the word volcano, guys. Is that what you listen to us for?
Like, that actually doesn't sound bad. I think we could all use we could all use a refresher on what a volcano is, don't you think? It's kind of crazy when you think about it.
We might learn something new.
I don't know. It's been a while. I haven't really really deep dived on volcanoes since the third grade. So
this just feels like that episode of Friends when Joey buys the one V letter encyclopedia and starts talking about Mount Vesuvius and stuff. Yeah.
God, that's such a good episode. Volcana is about Miriam Kate Williams. It's about a person, not a mountain that spews lava. She was born May 6, 1874, and died August 8, 1946. Sometimes called Kate Roberts, and better known by her stage name, Volcana.
She was a Welsh strongwoman born of Irish parents in Abergavenny, Monmouthshire. With strongman William Headley Roberts, better known as Atlas, she toured music halls in Britain, Europe, and Australia. The couple performed as the Atlas and Volcana Group of Society Athletes.
I just like that the word mouth is inserted into this Monmouthshire.
I love any British place name that just sounds just so fucking British.
Yeah.
Monmouthshire.
Oh, not British. Welsh. Excuse me.
Right. Right.
Excuse
yes.
you.
Yeah.
Kate Williams was born to a popular local preacher and worked at a tannery in Abergavenny. She met William Roberts at the local women's gymnasium he ran in 1890 when she was 15. Wow. they fell in love in spite of Roberts already having a wife and family, and they left town together and were never parted for the rest of their lives.
Wow.
Just picked up a 15-year-old at the women's gym.
Oh, my God. Basically, all of history before maybe the 1950s, no one batted an eye at, a 15-year-old just getting married at that age. They were just like, yeah, that's when a woman is a woman. And it's like, it's every historical couple is just like, he was 40 and she was
a child. She was a child.
performing career. Williams's first professional appearance was as a replacement act at a fete hosted by Roberts in Pontypool, Wales. Oh boy. They began to be billed together as Atlas and Volcana from the time of their first appearances in London in 1892. In 1903, Volcana and Atlas were engaged by Harry Rickards and toured Australia. Atlas, a true showman of his times, greatly exaggerated his own and Volcana's lifting abilities, and most of his published boasts have been dismissed. On more than one occasion, he was challenged to his face and shown to be using weights lighter than he claimed. At these times, Volcana's reputation suffered alongside his, although her authenticated accomplishments were genuinely remarkable for a woman of her era. Citation needed.
Here are her authenticated feats of strength. She reached the height of her popularity in France, impressing the halterophile Club de France with her feats of strength, which earned her a medal from the father of French bodybuilding, Professor Edmond Desbonnet, and a picture on the cover of La Santé par les Sports. She was honored with over 100 medals throughout her career.
Her best authenticated feats were bent press with her right hand of at least 124.5 pounds. Or 56.5 kilograms, with some authorities accepting a press of 145 pounds or 66 kilograms and an overhead lift with a 56 pound, 25 kilogram weight in each hand.
So I think I can do 15.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Overhead.
That's a lot.
Overhead, maybe 10, you know?
Yeah. What is a bent press?
I don't actually know. I thought it was is that when you're...
With just her hand? I guess it's you bend something with your hand and crush it?
It's a type of weight training exercise where a weight is brought from shoulder level to overhead one-handed using the muscles of the back legs and arm. Are you in a squat and then you lift it?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't actually know because I don't do those. I don't do any of these. She freed a wagon stuck in Maiden Lane, Covent Garden, London in October 1901 by lifting it before astonished witnesses.
Whoa.
Wow.
Authorities believe Volcana reached the peak of her strength in about 1910. On May 29th, 1913, at Haggard's Theater in Llanelli, she lifted a challenge bell that rival strongwoman Athelda, Frances Rhinelander, failed to raise after 25 minutes of trying.
25 minutes is a long time to try. I would have given up.
It's a lot more than I would spend.
I would give up after point 25 seconds.
Yeah.
Just, no.
Okay, I love this, the title of the next section.
Authenticated feats of heroism.
Yeah, which is just like, that seems so subjective, but okay.
This all seems subjective.
Yeah.
A woman publicly displaying strength was sufficient to generate succès de scandale, as publicity stunts were then called, and Volcano was no stranger to the art of aggrandizing tales of her exploits. However, some of the stories about her are based on genuine incidents of heroism on her part. For example, in 1888, at the age of 13, she stopped a runaway horse in Bristol.
What?
I've stopped a runaway horse. It's not a big deal. Okay, I just waited for it to stop running, but still.
She rescued two children from drowning in the River Usk in July 1901, for which she received an award in gratitude.
I want to know more about the runaway horse. Like, did she just like step in? Did she step in front of it and stop it physically with her body?
Or did she grab the reins and like, was she strong enough to be able to stop it from running that way?
I don't know. I'm glad she rescued children from dying. That's good. In 1910, she was the first to alert the police of the disappearance of her friend, Cora Crippen, who performed as Belle Elmore, ultimately leading to the investigation, prosecution, and execution of Cora's husband, Dr. Howley Crippen.
Ugh, man.
That's not, is that heroic, though, or is it more just like her friend disappeared and she called the cops?
And was like, my friend is missing, her husband should be executed.
Yeah.
On June 4th, 1921, the Garrick Theatre in Edinburgh caught on fire on an evening of the Society Athletes' performance. Volcano risked her life to save another act's horses and came away with serious burns on her head. For this, she won commendations and an award.
Okay, that is heroic.
I was going to say, I was like, Lisa, if this doesn't win you over, I don't know what to tell you.
I've been completely won over. I owe her an apology and reported feats. In 1902, Punch reported that Volcano had knocked out a pickpocket who was attempting to steal her purse.
Okay.
Cool. That's a good skill.
Retirement. Volcana and Atlas moved permanently to London in the 1920s and retired from performance in 1932. Volcana was hit by a car in London in 1939 and was conscious when she heard her own death pronounced.
Oh.
Yeah, that's gotta be weird. She suffered brain damage, but partially recovered and briefly outlived Atlas and her youngest daughter, both of whom also died in 1946.
What? That's so sad.
Yeah.
Family. Volcana and Atlas never married one another, and they billed themselves as brother and sister throughout their careers.
What?
Why? Why? They did, however, have six children together: William, Hedley, Augustus, Arthur, Nora, and Mona, from 1900 to 1946. No scandal resulted, as their secret was not discovered during their lifetimes.
Whoa. What? Volcana did not want her children left with relatives or in orphanages and insisted on raising them herself. Thus, all of her children performed with the Society Athletes as soon as they were old enough. Nora Roberts would go on to appear in the film Things to Come, 1936.
The Volcano Women's Circus, based in Brisbane, Australia, is named after her.
Wow.
Weird.
Weird, yeah. The pictures of her are pretty cool.
Yeah, she's a babe.
Yeah.
Strong babe.
Fascinating. Good job.
Good.
On being very strong.
I'm impressed.
I was about to be like, it's weird that this isn't a job anymore, but it absolutely is a job.
Being a strong lady?
Yeah, like, there are bodybuilding influencers who make their living just being like, look at my muscles on Instagram.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, someone from my birthright trip does that now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Weird.
Also, what's her name? Fucking Anfisa from 90 Day Fiance does it.
Good work if you can get it.
That concludes Wiki of the Week. It's time now for What Did I Learn?
What did I learn?
Lisa, what did you learn today?
I didn't learn anything about volcanoes. And I'm really disappointed.
Should it always just be what did I learn about volcanoes from now on? And just every week it's like, did I learn a new thing about volcanoes?
Yep. New segment, volcano facts.
There's just always new stuff we're finding out about volcanoes, right?
I think so. Always. Or just volcano check. We check in every week and see if there's anything new about volcanoes.
Yeah. I learned that Lisa didn't see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood when it came out.
No, I waited. I waited for the hype to die down to form my own opinion.
That's our show. You can continue to send us wiki pages at babygeniusespodcast@gmail.com.
Send us anything else you want, too. We'll read it.
Yeah, please don't sign us up for any mailing lists, because I think we have ended up on some of those, and I'm not sure why.
Don't do that.
You can follow me. I'm at Mr. Emily Heller on most things.
I'm at Lisa Draws on Instagram and Lisa Hannawalt on TikTok. Thanks to our producer, Rob Hera.
Thanks to my brother, Nate Heller, for our theme songs.
And goodbye.
Yay!
Geniuses, we know everything. Geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.